Faithful to Dorian's orders, once the Sprite and the Revenge entered the Mozambique Channel, the two ships separated. Kumra sailed up the west coast of the island of Madagascar and Batula along the east coast of the African mainland. They called at each of the fishing villages along the way. From the headmen of these villages they hired, for payment of beads, rolls of copper wire and other stores, such as fishing line, rope and bronze nails, a motley flotilla of feluccas and outrigger fishing dhows. By the time they met again at the rendezvous off the north tip of the Long Island, they were like ducks followed by a straggling line of ducklings. Most of these craft were ancient and decrepit, and many could only be kept afloat by constant bailing. Batula and Kumra placed them in a thin screen from island to mainland, then took their own ships well to the south so that they were only just able to maintain visual contact with them. In this way they hoped to prevent the desertion of any of the frail vessels and to receive their signals when Zane's convoy of war dhows appeared on the northern horizon, without being forced to reveal their own presence. They hoped that if Zane's lookouts spotted one or two of these tiny vessels, they would think them nothing more than innocent fishing craft, the likes of which were common in these offshore waters. The weeks passed slowly in such unrewarding activity. There was constant attrition among the scouting vessels. They were unsuited for such long periods at sea. The crews mutinied against the perils, discomfort, and boredom, or their boats fell apart, or the rough weather of the Kaskazi drove them into port. The screen became so perilously thin that in the heavy seas or in darkness, even such a large fleet as Zane's might slip through the holes in it unremarked. Batula had placed Tazuz in the most likely position, within sight of the low blue outline of the African mainland. He guessed that Zane would keep well within reach of the Omani trading settlements that for centuries had been sighted at every convenient river mouth and sheltered bay and lagoon along this coast. From these bases, Zane would be able to revictual his ships with fresh water and supplies. Batula fretted away these long, uneventful days. In the first light of each dawn, he climbed to the main truck of the Revenge and stared into the dispersing darkness for the first sight of Tazuz's felucca. He was never disappointed. Even in the worst weather, when all the other small craft had been driven to seek shelter, Tazuz was doggedly holding his position, although his ship seemed at times to be buried under the grey, breaking swells of the Mozambique current, his dirty lateen sail always reappeared out of the gloom. This morning the wind had dropped to a gentle zephyr. A bank of sea fret covered the horizon, and the current had settled into long swells that marched down from the north. Batula searched anxiously for his first sight of the felucca, but he was unprepared when the ghostly outline of the lateen sail appeared out of the mist less than a sea mile dead ahead. "She is flying the blue," he exclaimed with excitement. The long blue banner at her masthead writhed like a flying serpent in the gentle airs. It was the sky blue of Al-Salil's colours. "It is the signal. Tazuz has discovered the approach of the enemy fleet." He was aware at once of the danger. The sea mist would disperse as soon as the sun rose, and it would be a day of bright sunshine with visibility stretching to the horizon. He could not be certain how far behind the felucca was the enemy fleet. He slid down the shroud so rapidly that the rope scorched his palms, and as his feet hit the deck, he shouted his orders to bring the ship about and head her southwards. Tazuz followed in his wake, but rapidly the speed of the felucca narrowed the gap. Within the hour the two ships were close together, and Tazuz shouted his report across to Batula. "There are at least 5 large ships coming straight down the channel. There may be others following them. I cannot tell for certain, but I thought I glimpsed beyond them the peaks of other sails just showing over the horizon." "When did you last have sight of them?" Batula shouted back. "At last light, yesterday evening." "Did they hail you or try to intercept?" "They paid me no heed. I think they took me for a coastal trader or a fisherman. I did not alter course until darkness hid me from them." Tazuz was a good man. Without arousing the suspicions of the enemy, he had been able to slip away from them and warn the 2 larger ships. "The mist is beginning to lift, Effendi," the lookout called down to the deck, and Batula saw that it was thinning and breaking up. He seized his telescope and clambered back to the main truck. He had hardly settled himself there before the mist rolled aside like a translucent curtain and the morning sun burst through. Swiftly he swept his lens across the northern horizon. Beyond the felucca the channel seemed deserted, a wide blue expanse of water. Madagascar was out of sight to the east. Africa was an ethereal blue shadow in the west, and outlined against it he picked out the topsails of the Sprite holding her station. They were the only two ships in sight. "We have run clear away from the enemy during the night." His heart sang with relief. Then he turned his eye northwards again, with more attention, and studied the sharp line of the horizon. "Ah," he grunted, and then, "Ah, yes." He saw the tiny specks of white flash momentarily in the lens, like the wings of a gull, then disappear. The leading ships of Zane's fleet were there, hull down, showing only the very tops of their sails. He hailed the felucca again. "Tazuz, go across to the Sprite with all speed and recall her. Fire a gun to catch her attention." He broke off and stared across at the distant schooner. "No, you need not do it. Kumra has already seen what we are about. He hastens to join us." Perhaps Kumra had already seen the enemy sails to the north, or he might have been alerted by the Revenge's unusual behaviour. Whatever the reason, he had come about and was heading southwards with all sails set. During the rest of that day, the Kaskazi wind increased in strength, until once more it was blowing with its customary vigour, and the ships were flying on course for Nativity Bay. By noon there was no longer any sight of Zane's ships on the empty sea they left behind them. By late afternoon, Kumra had steered across on a converging course, and the two schooners were in close company. But Tazuz in the felucca was almost out of sight ahead. Batula watched his lateen sail grow tiny and disappear at last in the dusk. He stooped once more over his chart and made his calculations. "With this wind, Tazuz should reach Nativity Bay in 7 more days. It will take us 10, and Zane will be 3 or 4 behind us. We will be able to bring Al-Salil, fair warning."